It is Monday the 14th of May, and this is episode 118 of Digital Outbox. Sorry. Ian, say sorry.
Sorry?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm
sorry
confused.
for not having podcasted. We cocked up, I guess is the word. Ian went away and we couldn't cope.
that's not a straight truth. I went away. There was a slight hitch in communications and then my internet also played up quite badly.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, so Naughty Virgin.
Naughty Virgin.
And your broadband's not bad. Boom, boom. So yes, but you're back online, so it's all good.
I'm back, baby.
And we've got some news. So let's start with that, as ever. Yahoo have kicked their CEO out.
Again,
yeah. It must be like the shortest held job in the world ever, being Yahoo CEO. But yes, gone. Any reasons given this time?
He's a liar.
Ah, interesting.
The chap's name is Scott Thompson. He was hired from PayPal. He's only been in 6 months. I think he started in January. But a week and a half ago, it came out that he had a computing degree in his CV, which didn't exist. And people were saying, well, it might just be wrong. But it was wrong in a number of different places. and then he kind of was like, pa, it's not a big thing. And then he apologised to his staff. Not to the public, but to the staff. So he apologised to his staff, not for lying, but apologising that this was just a distraction from the good work that they were doing. And the thing is, the story didn't go away. A few shareholders were chasing after him, saying, this is just wrong. You can't do this. You have publicly lied about you're in charge of a big high-tech company. That's one of your major qualifications, and it's made up.
But the thing is, surely when you get to that stage, it's just about what you can do, not what your paperwork you've got, surely.
And on that note, how good is Yahoo doing right now?
They're not doing so well. They're clearly not vetting their leaders.
No. So yesterday he stepped down. Mm. Now, seemingly, he also has cancer. So we need to tread carefully here. So seemingly, and that was also one of the reasons which contributed to his decision to step down. Right. I just think he's trying to copy Steve Jobs. Yes, I went there. But
you did.
For some reason, see, 10 minutes ago, I was like, don't go there. That's really wrong.
I'm not sure his book's going to be quite so interesting.
No.
So Yahoo, again, looking for leadership. It's amazing.
Well, they have somebody. No, they've got somebody in place already.
Well, okay, so...
What's his name?
It's like a conveyor belt. A cuddly toy.
Ross. Ross Levinson. Who used to be in charge of their global media. So he was head of global media, is now back in charge. Not back in charge, because he never was in charge. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So he is now running the show. And he is not a kind of tech guy, but he was more a media guy. If you remember before, when you kind of went from tech to media, and then they went to tech, and now they're back to somebody from media being in charge. So I don't know what they do anymore, to be honest.
I mean, to be honest, did anyone know what Yahoo was? I mean, at one point, they were a search portal, weren't they? Which then attracted, they were at a portal page and a directory, and that was it. Then they kind of expanded out and did a few things. They obviously had a lot of money coming in.
But they were known for...
They haven't been known for any one thing for ages now.
And they were not... I mean, they bought Flickr, and they had AIM, and there was a few things that they were, well known for. And even Yahoo Mail. I remember they were one of the first to kind of really, Web 2.0, their mail service.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I remember Shaq loved it, actually. When Gmail was out, it was Hotmail.
Well, and their Messenger was one of the first ones as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. So there was a lot of... And, I mean, if you look at Flickr, Flickr's been static. But this year, they have actually made quite a few changes. So, it's good to finally get some changes that the other sites have been doing for years, and you feel kind of like, well, you're catching up and you're trying to do something.
I've got this sinking feeling about Flickr at the moment. I think a paid-up subscriber.
As am I.
There's part of me which thinks, I haven't used it for months and months now, just because I can now drop things in Dropbox and all sorts and not have to worry about it. So I don't know what I'm going to do with my Flickr account. And I guess that's the issue that they've got, is because they haven't kept it compelling and haven't given me enough reasons to come back. And because I've kind of signed my soul away now, I'm quite happy to put pictures on Facebook where actually they get seen. know, so, and that's quite a big difference. It makes a difference when someone can see some photos you've done. So, but you do have to obviously sign away your rights. I think that's a story that's actually not in today, that Facebook have changed their policy wording, which kind of just makes it clear quite how much they can do with your data. And
great.
So that they don't, well, people haven't given the analysis that it's given them any more power. It's just made it clear quite how much power they have got, effectively.
So just made it clear that we own you.
Yeah, basically, that's it. So, yeah, I hope he can do something with Yahoo. I mean, it's so hard to see a brand like that disappear. But there's no excitement around it at the moment. It's always this news we keep getting, bad news. Maybe that's partly due to the way the tech community goes with their news and stuff, but I don't know.
I mean, the chap that's left, I mean, he's cut 2,000 jobs this year, and a lot of analysts said it was probably a good thing. He was cutting a lot of fat from the company, trying to get back to maybe more, it's more creative, you know, more nimble roots. Can't believe I said nimble.
What's wrong with nimble?
It's one of these crappy kind of buzzwords things. We need to be lean, we need to be nimble.
Okay.
There's nothing really wrong with it. It's just like, you know, one of these things that you just when you see it, you have a little sick in your mouth at the same time. That's the kind of way I feel right now.
Internet porn.
Speaking of sick.
basically, government, UK government are now consulting, I guess, ISPs about the possibilities of, instead of making porn opt out, porn is making turning to be opt in. I believe that is the gist of what they're trying to make happen. They still believe that it's too easy for children to see inappropriate content on the internet, which I'm sure it is. And so they want a reversal of the current sort of status. So whenever you sign up for broadband now, effectively they're saying, we would like a tick box. In the words of Alan Partridge, make porn come on my TV.
I'm more impressed you said that with a straight face, because yeah. I'm chuckling like a child.
Okay, the moral issues of, you know, which way around should this be, opt in, opt out, should the tools just be in place for parents, and you know, what happens when one person in the family would like porn and then the rest of the family doesn't? What happens then? Because an opt in, opt out doesn't give you that fine grained control, effectively, does it?
And also, are you going to have more fine-grained control? Is there certain levels of adult porn yeah. that you'd want to go to?
How much skin is allowed?
Gimp? Yes, no?
Yeah. yeah. So, it's going to be an embarrassing questionnaire no matter what, isn't it?
Well, the other thing that I did read is that some of the proposals have been talked about, they don't want to make it easy either. So it is actually a phone call you have to make. You can't just log on to a site. They're wanting to force people into...
Your calls may be recorded for monitoring purposes and training purposes. My name is Sharon. How can I help you today?
O2 have done that.
O2,
you need to phone them up and say, enable over 18 sites, please.
Well, there you go. But it's still, say, it doesn't give you, in a family, you know, it doesn't give you that fine-grained control of what you want to do. And so I can't help thinking that, you know, that a universal tool that is installed on your devices is more the direction that really should be going. You know, if the government are so worried about it, why don't they put the money into developing something that people can use, which limits sites, you know, on a password basis or something like that. So, you know, and I know there are tools out there.
For me, it was just another form of blocking. It makes me a bit annoyed.
Neither of us are parents. I think that makes a difference. A big difference.
But for this, and it would have been interesting if Henry was here just to get his views, because he is a parent. But it's more the fact that they seem to think this will stop it all. And to me, parents have got a responsibility to actually talk and educate their kids. I just think there's more emphasis that should be in the parent than there is on a government introducing a law. I mean, there's a Tory backbench that I quoted in the article, Claire Perry, which accused internet companies of being complicit in exposing children to pornography.
Yeah, that's not fair.
So the Royal Mail by his, you know, in all the newspapers.
News agents.
And news agents. And it just, the list goes on. You know, it's a ridiculous analogy to say that they're complicit in that.
It does say, it says in the report that they found that 77% of women would sign up for having a default of barring. Interesting, they didn't give the male statistic on that one.
I wonder why.
Because it didn't register. I think my stance on it is, yeah, I think we need to develop tools that enable people to control the content on their computer better. But I don't think, and I have no issue with an opt-in, opt-out option when you're signing up for broadband, but I don't think that's going to give everyone the fine-grained control that they actually need, because different members of the family have different needs.
You know what? They should just ask Apple, because they seem to do a really good job at controlling everything.
Talking of dropping stuff, Dropbox has been rejected by Apple, or rather their, any app using the Dropbox SDK has been, was going through a stage of being chucked out of the App Store because Dropbox was including a link back to their own website to go and subscribe to one of their services. And the Apple's rule is obviously that you cannot do that. You have to go, an in-app purchase has to be available for the same price. So it was effectively breaking the terms and conditions, and therefore Apple kept rejecting anything which used the Dropbox SDK. This has developed over the week, though, hasn't it? I think Dropbox made some changes.
Yeah, so I don't know whether they've removed the links or they've done something that has appeased Apple.
Given them money, probably. that's pretty much what it comes down to.
It's just, stuff like this sucks. And I know Apple have been quite clear about the rules, and Amazon, all of the big players have changed their apps accordingly.
Well, the rules are there to give Apple 20% or whatever it is of every
30. You know, so anybody paying $100 a year, and that was the one they were in, and the one that they weren't following, and that if you offer $100, you know, payment on your website, then you need to offer that as an in-app purchase.
Yes, but then you get 30% off of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, so Dropbox did make those changes. I think they removed the link, which probably means that from a user's perspective, it's more awkward to use. Whether they will take the hit on that 30% is yet to be seen. Whether that, you know, someone might come along and say, actually, we will take that hit, and therefore app developers might start using other services.
I'm sure we talked about this before, you know, that, you know, something like Dropbox, because iDisk wasn't universal, and it was well before iCloud, and they were one of the first to get SDKs out there. So many apps support Dropbox.
Dropbox has also got the market as far as it's the thing that everyone talks about. I mean, I've heard it lots of times again in my non-techie friends. Okay, that's a small group, but they do exist. So Dropbox is what everyone calls that service. You know,
it's got a mindshare. It's got that thing.
Definitely.
Yep.
Yep.
Nasty Apple, hate that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, anyway, that's what they've done, and it was working for them, so there you go. However, they have been told off by European courts for advertising the iPad 3 as being 4G when it cannot use 4G in Europe because of the 4G networks that we don't have, and even if we did have them, they wouldn't be the right type. So they've had to go through their site, I understand, and strip out all their references to 4G and super fast broadband.
Yep, and I think it just now talks about cellular connection. So I think
which again for the UK doesn't really. What's that? mobile. Yeah. So we kind of said that when they first launched. You know, you can't really advertise that over here because it doesn't mean anything. It's not really a selling point for the Europeans. Yet it was one of their big bullet points across everywhere.
I think the bit they get tripped up on was all the kind of telcos talking about, well, we'll be bringing 4G, but it's the wrong type, you know. So you're right. You might be buying thinking, oh, I'm future proofing myself. No, you're not.
No, there will be more money to spend as ever. Facebook, now you're gonna have to explain this because this means nothing to me, but they've launched an app center.
Yes, and when I first read this, I thought, great, they've launched a store and you'll be able to, you know, I don't know, spend.
Facebook has lots of apps, right?
They have millions of apps.
And does this relate to them?
Not really. So I guess if you look back, you know, to companies like Zynga, I guess is one of the most popular ones. Off the back of Facebook, they have made so much money, and Facebook have made so much money off the back of Zynga. So it's worked hand in hand. But this new App Center, while on paper, or sorry, on screen, it looks like an app store. Mm-hmm. It's not. What it's going to do is refer you to other app stores where you can buy the apps from.
Google's app store that they have for Chrome kind of does a similar thing. It just points you to different services. So it's kind of a similar idea to that.
So it feels more, I mean, some people have called it an app showcase.
Right.
You know, so here's great apps you can use on our platform. Right. Go and buy them, people.
Yeah. So and I guess it's a way of driving interest in getting people. I mean, it's a way of making Facebook the internet, isn't it? I mean, I guess that's what they're aiming for, is that when you go on the internet, and for a lot of people, I think it is this. They just type in Facebook and off they go. They consume all their services and they do everything through it.
Absolutely. And you'll be able to find iOS and Android apps in the App Center as well, but they will port you over to the App Store or Google Play, you know, where you can actually pay and download the apps.
That's a bit bizarre that it's pointing you to apps that are not even inside their platform, isn't it? It's weird.
Yep. But it's all apps that are supporting Facebook's APIs.
So even if you just have Facebook login, they will point towards that. So okay.
Yes. And it's not just going to be web only. So we're going to get updates on both Android and iOS to the apps with this app center.
So basically, it's kind of saying anything where your user data is held by us, go.
go.
Excellent. I have a very annoying cough at the moment. There we go. It's going. Sorry about that.
It's not annoying at all.
It just makes me sound husky. I've got to do the...
Well, I'm slightly turned on, so don't worry about it.
Oh, God. Facebook testing a new feature. Basically allowing people to promote their posts by giving a little bit of cash. And in some cases, not a little bit of cash, which is bizarre. I mean, who's going to want to do this? If you're a product or a brand, then
like Digital Outbox.
Well, okay, so like Digital Outbox might want to promote their stories that they're pumping out, especially if it's a good one. But wouldn't it just annoy all your followers? I know your friends.
See, I can understand brands doing this because brands pay money to advertise themselves. But are people now brands? I guess some of the people I follow more on Twitter do see themselves as a brand. You know, they're putting themselves out there. They're willing to retweet anything. That you can see that they don't see themselves as they're not using something like Twitter as a personal thing. But Facebook, I think, even though there's subscribe options in it, is personal. And that's where it kind of falls down for me.
If someone that I followed repeatedly paid to have to supersede something that might be more important than me, to me, as you know, some family story or something like that, that would irk me something rotten, I reckon. I wouldn't ever notice that had happened.
I guess we need to be clear. So this is a trial at the moment happening in New Zealand. Yes. So it's not around the world. And also, what I'm not sure is, are you getting to see, I mean, if I promoted a post, has it got something beside it that says promoted? Because I would unfollow people if they started doing that.
Definitely. So that maybe it won't be. New Zealand leading the way. How weird.
And as it is testing, I mean it's popping up the option for some people and they're allowed to promote it for free. Other ones are small, you know, dollar prices. But there was a screenshot this morning that showed it was $47.
Wow.
To promote a post.
I wonder if that is how many people are following you.
I don't know.
You have to want to be promoting that post to make, you know, that kind of money, haven't you?
I've just crapped my pants. $47, promote that post.
Wow. Facebook account gets hacked, what happens then? You're going to be charged a lot of money.
And I thought this was really bizarre, but then Tumblr announced the same a couple of months ago. We didn't really cover it here because we don't talk about Tumblr too much.
No.
But Tumblr did the same thing. You can promote a post on Tumblr and pay for it.
So I wonder whether it starts promoting just around people wider than your friend list rather than just your friends list or followers list.
No, it seemed to indicate it was on your friends list. I have very few friends, so it's not a big deal for me. I guess if you've got hundreds and you're wanting to make sure that something's getting You know, is it like, part of me thought, is it like the eBay ads when it says, you know, put a bald head on, that's 15p.
Yes.
Yeah, so, add a photo, that's £1.
But yeah, free to list this weekend. yeah, I think that's a very a tightrope, let's say, of walking, because if someone promotes something that's really not worth promoting, they are going to leech people. Radio launches in the UK. Now, that's a backward headline. But this is radio with no A.
That's why I call it audio.
Audio. It could be audio, actually, because that's somewhere between radio and audio. Maybe. Anyway, so what's RDO?
Scribe D's is instantly popped right into my head.
RDO radio. So it's basically RDIO.
And it's American Spotify. So it's been in America for a couple of years. We had Spotify, they had RDO or radio. And I guess this kind of strange thing is that it's the way it's kind of launched here. No fanfare, no blog posts, no big adverts. It's just available. 7-day free trial. And if you look at the music, it's a lot more US-centric. There's been some new additions for the UK market, but not much. I have a friend who is a Spotify user. So he's a premium user, so he can listen to it on mobile. And he gave it a whirl and wasn't too impressed. Just the quality was fine, but the back catalogue...
It lives and dies on what you can get. And I think, again, Spotify have just... They've tipped the balance somewhere. They're still obviously in the balance as far as this... I mean, the fact they survived this long is pretty amazing. And perhaps they're going to gain some more traction back, because it seems like there's less songs now missing, say, from the top 40 than there used to be. And some of their apps, and their apps is definitely a nice, compelling way for music discovery. So they've done the right things with Spotify so far.
Apps for me were the biggest plus point since the actual launch. Mm.
No, you know, definitely.
Real spike for me.
It really was looking dodgy at one point, where loads of songs were being greyed out, where, you know, labels were removing stuff. But I think that's slowed. And I don't know, I've got no stats on that. That's what it feels like. And I still love it as a service. And I still pay my £5 a month.
So. Good, good.
Mm-hmm. Big talking point for everyone seems at the moment. The Galaxy S3, the next big phone, basically. Android, and coming out at the end of May. Had a lot of rumors, but now they've kind of announced everything, and it looks like a pretty spangly phone, to be honest.
Spangly,
good word. Nimble,
I like it. The specs are, well, in some ways they're good, and in other ways I think people were disappointed, because there was lots of rumors about the S3 was going to be like a 1080p resolution phone, which sounded like, how are you going to do 1080p in that tiny screen, and why would you? You know, it just felt wrong, but everybody seemed to leech onto it.
Well, because it's the same thing as Retina, isn't it? I mean, yeah, same kind of idea.
It's the same kind of idea, but it was like, you know, almost like twice the density of like a Retina screen. And it's like, are you going to notice that? And it's not. It's a 720p. Its cameras are much the same, apart from maybe a slightly better front-facing camera, or a lot better front-facing camera. Storage is much the same, and even the look and feel, there's not too much changed if you look at the look and feel. So some people were slightly disappointed, but spec wise, I mean, it's a quad core, it's a quad core computer.
They've put in place some quite nice sort of features and or featurettes. Let me just what they call it. So they've got a voice interface, but then all Android does. But it looks like they've just tried to wrap it up a bit.
I think they're trying to wrap it up and make it Siri-esque.
Yes, tagging for social tags, so you can easily tag photos. Great. Things like, if you're on the messaging, you can lift the phone to your ear and suddenly it will ring them instead. So you don't actually have to press a ring button. Now, how do they know it's your ear? How do they know? Anyway, clever one, if you're looking at it, it won't, you know, dim. You know how when you're reading something on the iPad, how annoying it is when it dims down? Well, apparently the thing looks deep into your eyes and can tell when you're looking at it. Sharing, it's got a quick share option, and it's things like you can share to your TV supposedly easily. I don't know how well this is actually going to work in practice. Share between your devices as well, the Samsung family. So very Apple-esque, and it looks pretty smart. It's a great sleek design. Looks very thin, and nice it massive OLED screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like a nice phone, basically.
I think it'll be interesting how it compares to the 1X, which we reminded ourselves was called the 1X earlier on, because the 1X was out probably about, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago.
And that's what everyone was raving over 2 weeks ago.
Well, and I know a couple of people picked it up, and it is a gorgeous phone. Really, really nice phone. It'll be interesting how this compares so close, you know, to the HTC one coming out. And a couple of things, it feels like, yes, they're competing software-wise with Apple and features. You know, so it was almost like a checklist. Yeah, we can do that. Yeah, we can do that. Yes, we can cloud share. Yes, we can do that. Yes, we can send it to the TV. Flipboard is going to be exclusive Android app. Sorry, I'll start again. For an S3 app, it's going to be exclusive for a limited time. There's already people have got the, I don't know what it's called on Android, you'll know, but they've basically got the package and you can install it on other phones.
I won't know what that's called.
Okay. Sorry about that. But if you remember when the 1X came out, you got 25 gig of Dropbox space. Mm-hmm. So you get 50 gig if you go with an S3. Right.
So they're having to differentiate somehow, aren't they? So that's clearly how they're doing it. The new hardware, hopefully... I've got a bit of an update on my phone has been flaky. You know, I was so excited about getting the new software. I would say since I've put it on my old handset, it's definitely more flaky. It's had bugs. It's had annoying things. The battery drains on. I don't feel as in control of it. I can't stop
it. Has it made it? How old's your phone then? That was a Nexus.
It's not even 12 months old, I don't think so.
Does it feel sluggish?
It doesn't really feel sluggish, but it'd say these bugs and quirks make it annoying. And like I say, sometimes I'll leave it and suddenly the battery will drain for no reason. And whereas before on the older platform, I used to feel in control of when I would let it sync and all those kind of things. I think it does its own thing now, no matter what you've got set. So it's made it a worse experience for me. And hopefully these new handsets, obviously built with the Ice Cream Sandwich in mind and beyond, hopefully. But we'll see. But I would say these companies are making the Android, you know, option very compelling, and it's gaining market share. People are talking about it now, as a really good thing to have. Really, it's quite exciting what's going on in that market.
Absolutely, and it's interesting that they don't. That they're actually talking about. It seems to be there's a camp that's for Samsung, and there's a camp that's for HTC. It's not so much a big Android camp.
No, they're definitely the leaders, and they're almost. It's almost like people talk about the Samsung phone and the HTC phone. They don't talk about it being the Google phone. Sort
of, and they've got a real brand Google awareness that I don't think they really had maybe 12, 18 months ago. No, there was lots of talk about Android phones, but not so much about Samsung or HTC. But I think the last iterations and now these ones have really ramped up.
They've worked hard, and by signing up to it sort of wholeheartedly, they've actually gained quite a lot out of it. As long as they don't get sued to high heaven, they'll be all right.
And as we said last time, Samsung is now the biggest phone maker in the world. You know, it's overtaking Nokia.
It's amazing. So. Yeah, amazing. bit of a games. Let's have a bit of a games catch up. If Diablo 3, if you're a Diablo player, this has been such a long time in the coming. But it launches midnight tonight. So by the time you listen to this, it will be at some point in the past.
Unless I do I won't do it tonight. I'm going to watch Game of Thrones. Yeah, so when you're listening to this tomorrow night, or you might not be because you're playing Diablo 3.
Now, I was never a Diablo player, but people swear blind. It's kind of a dungeon crawler of the old style, wasn't it, really? It was all the role-playing type mechanic, but done in a... I can't remember. I think it was single player before, wasn't it? So I assume they've got in some multiplayer aspects now.
There are some kind of friend type things in there. I did play the beta, but to be honest, the beta weekend was difficult to get on.
Beta weekend is never fun things.
No,
to do.
But I mean, it's scary. I mean, this came out in 2000, Diablo 2.
That's 12 years ago.
It's a generation.
I feel old though because it doesn't feel like 12 years ago. It shouldn't feel that. Never mind. Anyway, so I haven't seen reviews yet. I can't imagine a game that's that long in the making could be bad. But
that's
then again, we've seen that.
I was on Metacritic earlier and I was looking up a couple other things and I totally forgot about Diablo. Let's have a look.
Drum roll, please.
unless they've got some sort of embargo.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes they don't have them until the day after, but then that's always a dodgy sign, isn't it?
And they, interestingly, there is
an embargo, right? Yes. Okay, so we'll see. Don't take any recommendations until that's been reviewed.
Yep, there are no critic reviews for Diablo, a game that's out tonight.
It's like Halo, when someone's really confident they can get away with it, but yeah, we'll see. There's enough hype around this, they're going to shed loads of boxes, I am sure.
I am probably going to buy it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Which I'm quite surprised about, but yeah. I quite liked the beta. It was quite nice.
We'll add it to the pile of games that you've bought and haven't yet played, including Trials Evolution came out on Xbox Live Arcade. It's the update to Trials, whatever it was now, HD, I think. So Trials bike, linear scrolling, and you've just got to get from one end to the other without crashing. Easy in concept and very tricky once you get to the later levels, but still fun. I don't like some of the presentation aspects they've gone down, but it's still fun.
And I do want to play it. Used to mess around with the track editor, because when I read the review on Edge, it was just like, that's a work of beauty.
Yeah, so I've not even looked at that aspect. But just the online, the way they've got it online sorted, and you can see everyone's little ghost when you're going along to see whether you're keeping up with all your mates and stuff. So even when you're playing offline, effectively, you're still playing against your mates. And it's good fun. I mean, it's very compelling and such Moorish action. Yeah, I'll have a quick go, and then you know, half an hour later, you're still...
I'd love to agree, but I bought it in day one and I haven't tried it once.
There you go. It's good fun. Fez is another little arcade game that came out, old school style, but added with a twist of... So it looks like an old-fashioned 2D platformer, but actually the whole concept of the game is that you can rotate these worlds down in a 3D plane and get a completely different perspective. So there's elements of puzzles, there's elements of adventure, and there's elements of discovery. And it's done very well, very clever. And say it harks back to all the old-fashioned coin collecting and things like that. So it's quite clever stuff. And not missing out on the fact that Minecraft got launched on Xbox Arcade as well just the other day. And it's a very nice implementation.
And seemingly broke sales records for arcade games the Xbox platform.
This game is just game developers will be looking at this for everywhere and thinking, why the heck have I spent this much money developing all these software tools when these blocks suddenly get plonked on a page and away you go. Old-fashioned graphics just seem to be back in. But it's done very well, and the implementation's quite clever. It takes away some of the discovery that you have on, say, playing on the PC, which kind of leaves you to your own devices. And I found things in it that I just never even knew existed. So it does aid that discovery, but not really to its detriment, and it just adds different challenges in. Makes it fun. But it doesn't have creative mode, which is a whole aspect of Minecraft, which on PC is obviously quite important, where effectively you can have unlimited blocks. So it becomes more of a creation tool rather than a play tool.
I was quite surprised they didn't have that. I wonder if there's some sort of limitation that
they're talking about adding all these features in, but they're also already got some in-app purchases and stuff like that, effectively add on. And they all cost money. So I'm a bit worried that all those features will come at a cost.
Yeah. And I find Minecraft for me was a time sink. It was just getting the time to find that little, because a half hour would turn into 2 hours.
Yeah, no, I totally. My castle looked awesome, but it did take a long time.
Exactly. And that's why I didn't buy it for iOS as well, because iOS got good reviews, Android got good reviews. But I'd see if you could just, have your Minecraft creations in the cloud and whatever device you're on just connected up, but they're not, they're all independent.
They are. And it would be nice to be able to connect up to a PC server or whatever, because there's no real reason why not. I think the worlds might be smaller on Xbox Live. I think
not a lot of RAM to play with, is it?
I think they're all called the next Xbox Arcade Next, I think. So they, and with each iteration of these next stages of Arcade, I think the limitations get less and less. I wonder. Two other games, Max Payne 3. Everyone's talking about Max Payne 3. We were talking earlier, and I enjoyed the first Max Payne. I quite liked how it was a story, and I lived through, you step through the story, and it had this kind of funky bullet time, which was very Matrix inspired. Everything slowed down. But it was very repetitive. And although I got to the end of that game, it was a bit of a struggle towards the end, because it was, open a door, dive, slow down time.
It was a game. It was a game wrapped in a tech demo.
Absolutely. I mean, that is the best way of describing it. But it was quite an impressive tech demo.
Yeah, the first three times.
Yeah. Okay. It was very. There was a Mel Gibson film, and I cannot remember what it's called. It was very much inspired by that. Grimy thing. But everyone's talking about Max Payne 3, but I just, we'll see. I'll again look at reviews because...
And the only reason I had this in was that it was The Verge this evening put the review out, and they said it was the best game Rockstar has ever made.
There you go, and that's
and that
Rockstar.
Was a wow. That was a an attention-grabbing headline. Now, if you look at Metacritic, it has got really good reviews and a couple of stinkers. But the stinkers are from Edge, and Edge can be quite funny sometimes about, you know, like
Edge or snobby.
I don't like this. 7.
Yeah.
You know, fantastic game, but it's a demo. 7. You know, and it could be, I'm sure I've missed some classic games over the year just because it's got an Edge 7. And you can't help it, you just go, I'm gonna buy that.
That's because you're a snob too.
Thanks.
Ghost Recon next week, apparently. Well, not apparently, definitely. It's all fixed. And
well, I think it is.
I think you're right. It's definitely coming up.
I'll buy it again in Amazon. Did I tell you that I went to buy it and Amazon told me you've already pre-ordered this?
So now, yes, I'm still worried that my pre-order is, I hope it's still alive on game because I
pre-ordered
before all that kind of shenanigans. Yeah, it's next week.
Next week. Well, interestingly, Game in Australia went bust today.
I did it. Okay, so they're still in.
And they're not going to honour any Diablo pre-orders.
Right.
So your money still... has gone, and we're not going to give you the game. So,
really?
Yep.
Gosh.
Yeah.
I'll check my credit card, I think. So this game has been so long in the making. I mean, it's years and years since the last one. I mean, it was... used to be the game, you know, its first incarnations, we used to play it all the time. It sort of slowly leached players as Xbox grew and there were plenty more options to play around with. Yet it still holds a place in our heart, and I'm hoping that... I mean, I played through the single-player game in the last one. I really enjoyed it, so I'm hoping big things on this.
I installed it 2 weeks ago. Hmm. One of our Xbox Live colleagues? It's funny to become a colleague. What an arse. And he picked up the game second hand and downloaded all the maps and put it on. So we did too. And yeah. We didn't do any multiplayer because I know we'd just get pwned.
Well, if there's anyone playing it, I guess there are people still
playing. At first, to some of the screens, you thought they don't look too bad. And then you realise there was like 3 frames of animation to actually turn. There was this really jerkiness about the whole thing. So graphically, it looks really impressive. I still worry that the beta, which was limited and got some poor feedback online.
Yeah, that's what betas are for, and you have to, you know, think. But the problem is we're used to such a polished experience now off of all these latest shooters that, and it was never a truly polished affair. I mean, it was very impressive. Again, some of the atmosphere it created, I've never had the same atmosphere in any game.
But did you play that game? But did you play that game for the atmosphere it created, or the 8 minutes of banter while you waited for somebody to keep up on you, and that 30 seconds of frantic? Oh my god!
Probably the best bit was when you're in the lobby watching. To be honest, someone else get crept up on.
Where did he shoot me from? Oh, he was up on top of the seeing top of that car, just a
10 miles away. So I'd say. I don't think we're going to be able to recreate that because I don't think we're going to have the community to do it with. But I'd say it still brings me back and it'll still make me buy the games because I love it. So we'll see.
Even better, as you sat in the lobby and you heard the kind of bugger as somebody came in just as they'd been shot.
Forgotten about that. Yes, very good. Yep. Anyway, that's the end of our news for today. So let's get on to a pick. I say a pick because I ain't got one, but Ian, you have.
This is a very quick one. It's just come out a couple of weeks ago. It's called Bartender. It's for Mac. And if you're anything like me, you've got lots of Mac apps and they've got lots of little icons in your menu bar. And that's fine when you've got a 27-inch monitor because you forget how much light they can stretch across. You need to run hundreds. But if you're on a little 11-inch MacBook Air, that's taking up quite a lot of room. So what Bartender does, it puts another icon in your menu bar. But basically, you can then set up all the other icons in there to hide in Bartender's own menu. It does some clever things. It's if one of the if one of the other apps is doing something, you know, like if it's indicating there's a new chat request or something, you know, or whatever it is, it'll pop up for 5 seconds and display and then hide away again. So it's just a great way of tidying that menu bar up. And I do get quite annoyed with some of the menu bar icons I can't remove, but you do want the app to run. So this is a nice way of doing it. It's currently in beta, which means it's free. But no doubt it'll wait. I expect, see if this was $5, then I'll pick it up. See if it was like 10 or 15 or 20, then you're like, well, that's quite a lot of money just to make my menu bar tidy. So I don't, a nice free pick at the moment.
There you go.
And I will update you in future weeks if it gets expensive and nasty.
So you can pick it up at macbartender.com, basically. That's the end of the podcast for today. If you want to find out more about us, you can digitaloutbox.com. Email us, info@digitaloutbox.com. Twitter and Skype, digitaloutbox. I'm on Twitter as GZUK. And Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter as Shreeper, and my blog is indie.net.
Perfecto. So hopefully we will try and get back on schedule with our podcasts. We will speak to you soon. Later.
Goodbye. That's a kiss of death. We'll not do one for another fortnight.
Very non-committal as well, wasn't it? Soon.